And hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And a quick reminder that we are underwritten by National Grid and sponsored in part by Lifetime Medical. And I am so pleased. Lifetime Medical has been a Waterfire season sponsor and sponsor for years and sponsored Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island last year, and they're just an incredible company, and that is who I'm going to be talking to next. They are recruiting nurses and CNAs right now, but I want to talk with my friend Lou Paolino. Lou, are you there?
I am here, Bronwyn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Terrific.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know that you are usually, you and Marie are just working nonstop and 24/7 to make sure that people are comfortable and that everything's moving along. So I really appreciate your time.
Well, let's glad to be here.
Well, so, you know, you and I have talked quite a bit about this. One thing that we really need to bring attention to, and I'd like to start off with, is you are always hiring, aren't you? And always looking for perfect recruits.
Especially nowadays, Bronwyn, it's been very competitive. A lot of people have moved out of state or are going to other states because the wage structures are a little bit more competitive in Mass and Connecticut, to be frank with you.
Yeah.
So the environment is a little bit more competitive, but we're always looking for great help and great staff. We continue to offer staff, you know, competitive wages and 401k, and, you know, I think a big thing that we're able to do is give people flexible hours. Employees have flexible hours. They work close to home. So there is, you know, in addition to that, bonus pay, and they have the opportunity to work for an agency that's accredited.
Mm-hmm.
So we are always looking for qualified RNs, registered nurses, and certified nursing assistants.
Yeah, you know, Lou, can we
help?
Sorry, I hate to interrupt you, but, you know, I was just thinking we should explain to our listeners exactly what Lifetime Medical does and who you service.
Absolutely. Well, we're a statewide agency. We've been providing services to tens of thousands of Rhode Islanders over the last almost 40 years.
Yep.
We're a CHAP-accredited home health agency providing skilled nursing to people in their home, to patients in their home, PT, OT, physical therapy, occupational therapy,
yeah,
and certified nursing assistants, home health aides, one being in the same on the skilled side. And then on the support side, we offer certified nursing assistants to provide an array of services, for example, feeding or toileting, grooming, bathing.
Yeah.
Some of those are what they call ADLs, activities of daily living. And on the, in addition, they are able to provide housework or meal preparation,
mm-hmm,
be a med reminder. The med reminder is more on the skilled side of that, and then shopping and maybe using the telephone for communication. So those are the type of services we give, and what it allows people to do is to stay at home.
Which is very important.
Extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
I think 90% of the elderly want to age at home. They want to age in place. And the unfortunate thing in Rhode Island is 4 out of 5 elderly that need long-term care have been going to nursing homes. And you know, that's not equivalent to what's happening in other states. I think there's 15 states that now have balanced their long-term care programs where half the elderly are ending up in a nursing home and half are ending up at home. So we have a huge wall to climb here in Rhode Island, and with some significant obstacles in the way. And I think as the listening public gets to understand what some of those challenges are, they may, you know, call their legislators or speak to people that have some type of control of how spending is conducted here in Rhode Island to help them so when the time comes and they want to age in place, they have that opportunity.
Well, you know, because it's just because there's a huge financial difference between somebody being able to stay in their home or go to a nursing home?
Well, what it is this. You know, the state, it costs the state, I believe it's about now between $100,000 and $120,000 a year to go to have someone go into a nursing home. And it's probably closer to maybe $30,000 a year to be at home. So there is a tremendous cost savings to the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, everybody wins. And obviously there's a place for nursing homes, although, you know, some people, unfortunately, you know, with the nursing homes, you know, some people consider it like the last place before dying. You know, a nursing home is an unwanted situation for many elderly, but in some instances, you know, it's a situation where you have to be placed in a facility where you have a nursing home skill level, you know, ability. And but, you know, 90% of the elderly can stay at home. Even with a disability, they're able to stay at home and age in place with help from the outside.
So I guess this is what, well, one, you know, I understand this very, very personally because my Nana is on a decline and in hospice at home because we promised my grandfather that she would never leave her house. And I think a lot, sometimes I was talking to somebody, I was Jen Andrewsy last week, about healing and the healing process and sometimes how staying around your family and staying in an environment, especially if you're starting to experience dementia, or something like that, is crucial to one's well-being rather than being put somewhere else. So I guess what I'm not getting is, and when I just also want to say, the people and the nurses that are there and that are helping, and I know your staff, because I meet your staff every year, it's a very special, special group of people, big hearts and a lot of caring. But so if it's less, if it costs less for somebody to stay at home and it's costing the state so much money, otherwise to like pay for somebody to go into nursing care or like a nursing home, what, where's the disconnect here? Because it just seems counterintuitive.
I think it's a policy problem. For example, I had talked to a counterpart. I mentioned this when I testified before the Senate Finance Committee. I was speaking to a counterpart in Massachusetts in the Worcester area. Mm-hmm. You know, and she was telling me 100 people that were designated for long-term care ended up going into home care that could have easily been placed in a nursing home. So I think it's a policy issue that's, you know, in 2006 they had what they call the first inklings of what they call the global waiver. Here in Rhode Island, there was this push to balance the long-term care system so that people could stay at home. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're aware, but Rhode Island right now, there was a reinventing Medicare, I believe, a report that stated that we're number one in the country of elderly 85 and over on a percentage basis. So there's a real problem that you know, the train has left the station.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know how it's going to be solved. I know there are a number of agencies actually that have started turning cases back. We have people that have wanted to come home that we can't even take out of a nursing home. They're basically trapped there. So you know, the sister states that have balanced this long-term care program, and I get back to the global waiver because the initiative initially was that they were going to try to rebalance it here in Rhode Island. And somewhere along the line, the state annually underfunded the Medicaid services that would allow elderly to go home. And they did it on a regular basis, and they did it, and they kept rates, wages artificially low. And by doing that, people went to other industries that are great caregivers, going to Massachusetts or Connecticut, or you know, going to another industry. The high quality CNAs that are out there, and there's tremendous amount still out there. We have a great staff ourselves, and we pride ourselves in having phenomenally dedicated individuals. But there is been a significant loss, and that's the answer is the policy has to change. But I don't know if it can turn on a dime. I don't know if the political you know, if the political will is there to act. And you know, I just encourage policymakers to take a second look at what they've allowed to happen here in Rhode Island, and maybe kind of find a way to turn this ship around.
Well, I don't think a lot of people realize, and again, everything that you're telling me, but what the state's doing, or the policies that have not shifted or have shifted, it just sounds all counterintuitive to me to, you know, one, saving money for our taxpayers and our state, and two, you know, providing good health care. And that's, what was the number, the percentage of people that are over 85?
Well, we're number one as far as the percentage. Whatever that percentage is, we are number one on a per capita basis in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other part of this is, you know, a lot of the people that need the care are minorities. We have a lot of minorities working in this, and a lot of them are women.
Yeah.
A lot of them are minorities, and I think the government really has the state, which has been, you know, touting the fact that they want to improve the living wage for women and bring parity to women, has not produced as of yet. I know there was some slight initiative by the governor to increase increase some of the reimbursement by about 7%, but that's 7% over 10 years, and the real cost of care is going up probably 50 to 70%. So you're talking some significant needs that are there. I know this governor was the first governor in a number of years that did, you know, to give her some credit to doing it. She did try to put something in there, but I think the big problem is they need a better understanding of what's going on here in Rhode Island.
Yeah, I think we all need a better understanding. I wonder, would you be willing to do a blog post that we could put up on the WaterFire website that just explains to people?
Absolutely. You know, I'll talk to you about that later on.
Yeah.
And we can absolutely do that.
Because I think, again, I mean, I'm learning something from you now. And when you put the bullet points down there, again, it doesn't, to me, make a lot of sense as to why we can't let something or have something and help it pass through. And I think the more that people know and that the public knows, one, the incredible work that you and everybody that's working for you does, and the incredible impact that makes on families, not just the person being taken care of, but their families as well, is pretty miraculous. And it's a super important part of, you know, keeping people and happy and healthy and soulful, I would say. So, Lou, when you're hiring people, and as you said, you've got lots of opportunities right now, how can somebody get in touch with you? And are there any kind of restrictions or?
Well, they have to be licensed. Mm-hmm. They have to have a CNA license, or they have to have an RN license, or be licensed as a PT or OT. But basically all they need to do is they can call an easy number to remember. It's all threes, 333-3333, all threes. They can.
How did you get that number?
Well, we've been in business for a number of years. We got that number early on, and it stuck with us.
That's awesome.
Or they can call 1-800-333-NURSE.
Okay.
But any one of those numbers will bring you into the company. You can ask Linda there, who is someone that can be the contact person, or they can just state to the individual that answers the phone that they're looking to apply to our company.
Excellent. Well, you know, we're gonna reinforce that every week on the show now, that, you know, that's what you're looking for and how people can get in touch with you. And thanks for opening my eyes and hopefully our listeners' eyes to some of the challenges that you're facing and that we're facing as we try to deal with the elderly and, you know, as we just try to take care of people. Again, you and your wife, Marie, are two of the kindest people that I know, and so appreciated your support for WaterFire. But even just running into you and seeing you at WaterFire all the time always just makes me smile. So thank you so much, and thank you for supporting the radio station and WaterFire Ignites Rhode Island. You're helping us get out important information to people, Lou. And
it's been our pleasure.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Because we're going to have to go to a station break.
No, some good tips for the elderly. Just as I leave, they can wear flat shoes, avoid making quick movements. Falls are a big problem among the elderly. Learn about elderly exercises that can help your balance. Those are some of the things I think the elderly should really start to focus on. Mm-hmm. And, just as some good tips for good health.
Now, if somebody goes to your website, can they find some of those tips?
They can't find those, but they can get information about us at lifetimemedical.org.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave me a good idea. I think maybe that's some of the things that we'll start to provide for them.
Well, and I guess what I'd love to do is I'd love to have you back on the show, and then we can focus on, some tips and things that you've learned over the years, and I would love to talk to some of the people who have received your services. So
maybe next
month we can figure out a time and have you back.
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
So much, Brian.
And thank you so much again for everything that you've done to Lifetime Medical, an incredible group. Everyone, you've been listening to WaterFire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And again, that is Lifetime Medical we just spoke to. And boy, did I just learn a lot about legislation and what's going on in the nursing industry here in Rhode Island. And I hope that you listen to this. If you could always listen to this on podcast if you just missed it. But when we come back, we're going to talk about every crazy event happening in Rhode Island this weekend. And then on July 1st through July 4th, there is like this really wild event happening. And my dear friend, Pat Paolino-Cruz, is going to be here to tell us all about it.